This is the Dan Grosse Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Happy Monday to one and all, 22nd day of April 2024. It is indeed Dan Grosse Show live and in living color. You know where you're at. 98.7 ESPN, but it is a quickie tonight. That is right. It is a shoot around. It is a sprint. We got 30 minutes to keep you company here at 800-919-3776. So light up them phone lines. We'll get as many in as quickly as we can before we make that seamless transition to New York Knicks basketball. The Garden going to be rocking again tonight, a game number two between the Knickerbockers and the Philadelphia 76ers. And before you even ask, before you even wonder, we still have no idea yet about the status of Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid. Both of those guys are questionable. They're game time decisions, according to Nick Nurse. Maxey was out there going through his pregame warmups on the court, and Embiid is going to follow suit as well. I would be very, very surprised if those guys are not in the lineup tonight for the Philadelphia 76ers. I mean, this is the playoffs. You lose this game tonight, you're halfway to elimination. So I would be surprised if they both weren't out there and probably causing some problems for the New York Knicks in game two of this series. Oh, by the way, we got Joe Leo, we got Julian Kushnick. They're producing the program tonight. And you can get me on the old Twitter, at Dan Grosse, G-R-A-C-A. It's one of those days where we have so many things to talk about. It's unfortunate we only get the 30 minutes to do so, right? You have hockey news where the Islanders try to draw even here and see if they could steal home ice advantage from the Canes. That game coming up at 7:30. You'll hear it over on 1050 on the AM side. Rangers draw first blood on the Capitals. Kind of a feisty opening period. Not a lot happening on, but the Rangers broke it open in the second period there. And that series is far from over, of course. But the Rangers get game number one against the Capitals. They're back on the ice tomorrow at MSG. And oh, by the way, with the NFL draft just a few days away on Thursday, it was about 3 years ago, in and around this time, the Jets had the second overall pick in the draft. And they turned in the card with a quarterback from BYU's name on it. And he was thought to be, or hoped to be, the franchise savior. And now, almost 3 years to the day, he is an ex-New York Jet. And as we were telling you, there was no way he was going to be on this team in 2024 once we got this thing going for real. Now Zach Wilson traded to the Denver Broncos. That happened earlier today. Now, the $5.5 million that he was owed, Jets are going to have to eat about half of it. Denver eats the other half, which is very, very good from a Jets standpoint. And, oh, by the way, they swapped draft choices, too. And the Jets are going to get a sixth from Denver. Broncos get a seventh for the Jets. Think about that for a second. And I know that Joe Douglas, since he has been running the show over in Florham Park, he has a way, right, of somehow, some way, getting value for players and assets that maybe around the league you wouldn't think that there would be a lot of value for. He got a sixth round pick for Zach Wilson. Okay? Contrast that to what a guy in Zach Wilson's draft class netted the Chicago Bears. Right? Chicago Bears traded Justin Fields to Pittsburgh. And Justin Fields, so far over the first 3 years of their respective careers, Fields probably showed more than Zach Wilson did on the field. And yet, the Bears only got a sixth-round pick for Justin Fields, which could be bumped up to a fourth, depending on how much playing time he gets. But think about that for a second. Joe Douglas got a sixth, the same that Justin Fields got for the Chicago Bears. But you know what? I wish Zach well. Hopefully he lands in Denver in a place that, you know, some of that ability and that talent that made him the number two overall pick in the draft is going to be able to be unleashed. I thought he was a good dude. It just didn't work out. And look, there's a variety of circumstances. We could sit here and point a bunch of fingers as to who, what, why, what the blame was. I think there's blame that's felt all around here. But you know what? The Jets move on. He moves on and gets a fresh start. And on to the draft coming up on Thursday, because certainly the Jets have a lot bigger fish to fry and a lot higher expectations for this 2024 season, which now we know for sure are not going to include Zach Wilson. 800-919-3776. But we got to talk about the Knicks here tonight. Why? Because this is a big game. And not to say that the series is going to be over if the Knicks win tonight to go up 2-0. But odds are pretty much in their favor to win this game tonight when you consider that the home teams over the first 2 days of the playoffs in the NBA are a perfect 8-0. And the Knicks were actually one of the two games that were actually decided by single digits. And I think that that's the takeaway from Saturday. And look, Saturday was an unbelievable atmosphere. at Madison Square Garden. And it would have been unfortunate for a number of reasons, but more so if they could not walk away with that victory, just to kind of let the air out of the building. The people that flooded MSG on Saturday, they were supercharged. You know, they wanted to see the team go out there and play well and deliver a victory. And it wasn't according to the script that you would expect, but you know what? They got the win. And that's what the beauty of the playoffs is that you never know how it's going to happen, who's going to play a starring role. Because, let's face it, the guy who we have idolized all season long in Jalen Brunson, he had an off night. You know, Jalen Brunson did not play well in that game on Saturday. You shoot 8-for-26 from the floor, that's an off night on Jalen Brunson's standards. And I mentioned it even in the pregame show on Saturday. You know, Philadelphia, for whatever reason, they found a way to make things uncomfortable for Brunson this year. You know, the four regular season matchups, he was only averaging 22 points a game, shooting 40% from the field and 30% from three. He gave you the 22 points on Saturday, but he was only 8-for-26 from the floor. So he has yet to really figure out how to solve this Philadelphia 76ers defense, whether it's Kelly Oubre, whether it's the zone that they throw at him. But the good thing about Jalen Brunson, and one thing we know about him, just from watching him every single night of this season, is that generally when he does have an off night, he finds a way to bounce back, right? He finds a way to have that short-term memory and forget about the bad one and go out there and look like a guy who should get All-NBA consideration. And I would expect him to play a big game tonight. But that's what makes this team so fun. And that's why I think the city has just taken to this team all season long. Is that even when Brunson is off, you know what? There's other guys that stepped up. You know, two of the huge factors that we said were going to help decide this series. Number one, secondary scoring for the Knicks. Where was it going to come from? Who was going to provide it? You know that Tibbs was going to shorten the rotation because it's the playoffs. We ended up seeing only eight guys and three off the bench play on Saturday. Well, guess what? Two of them, and actually all three of them, as a matter of fact, had huge roles in them winning that game. Deuce McBride coming off the bench to knock down five threes. When they really needed a jolt, he comes in the second quarter and gives them life. And it was the second quarter which pretty much helped get that game in the Knicks' possession. You think about what Bojan Bogdanovic did in that game. And I understand that, you know, it wasn't like a 35-point virtuoso, but for a guy who's been streaky and hot and cold since coming over to the Knicks, he had one of his better games on Saturday. You know, if you've watched Bogdanovic since he's been a Knick, he was as good as probably he's been since putting on this uniform. And then Mitchell Robinson, a guy who was only playing, what, about 15 to 20 minutes a night since coming back from his injury? He was averaging about 15 minutes a game the last month of the season since he's returned. He goes out there and he plays 30 minutes on Saturday. And he, more so than Isaiah Hartenstein, did a better job corralling Joel Embiid, at least on the defensive end. Hartenstein was okay offensively, but Robinson, I thought, did a better job Embiid, especially in that second half. Now, you could say, well, Embiid was hobbled because he had re-aggravated that knee injury and he was out there on one leg and everything. So be it. You know what? You're out there, you're playing, it all counts just the same. And we talked about the non-Brunson minutes, the non-Embiid minutes, and how critical it was going to be. It seems as if whichever team was going to win those minutes in those sections of the basketball game, that was going to go a long way towards deciding that series. And when Embiid was on the bench, or not on the floor, I should say, on Saturday, and it was only a total of 11 minutes, Knicks outscored Philadelphia by 21 points. 21 points. You'll take that every single game of this series. And if it happens every single game of this series, it's going to be a short one. Because then the Knicks are going to find a way to win. But there are things with this Philadelphia squad that you have to account for. You know, Maxey reminded everybody, and I know he's a little under the weather tonight. You just hope he doesn't give whatever he's dealing with illness-wise. You just hope he doesn't spread it to anybody in a Knick uniform. But he reminded you how electric a player he can be. Because he was really, really good the other night. You know, and Philadelphia did not get anything from their bench. Nothing. I would expect that to be a different story moving forward in this series. Remember, Nick Batum was the guy who hit the 6 three-pointers in the play-in game victory for them. He was nowhere to be found the other night. Buddy Hield, who's been a pretty good NBA player and has a reputation for being a pretty darn good shooter, he only played 10 minutes the other night. He took two shots, and then Nick Nurse nailed him to the bench, basically. That's got to change. Knicks don't win that game on Saturday if they don't just absolutely dominate the bench production from the Philadelphia 76ers. Did we learn anything from that game? Yeah, we learned that it's going to take a team effort. That there are going to be nights in this postseason where Brunson's not going to have. Dante DiVincenzo didn't have it the other night, right? That was as bad a game as DiVincenzo's had in a good long while. I mean, hell, he didn't even hit double figures. That was not a great OG Anunoby performance. Yeah, I know they won with him in the lineup, but you see, he was a minus five. A minus five. That was the first time in the 24 games that OG Anunoby has been wearing a Knicks uniform that he finished with a negative rating. So from start to finish tonight, there has to be a better performance. You know, you can't dig yourself a 13-point hole in the first quarter and expect these guys on the second unit to come in there and save your bacon. Because those guys are second unit bench players for a reason. Have to have more consistency coming up in this game tonight. Let's talk about it. All up for discussion in the 15 minutes or so that we have. The Knicks, the Zach Wilson trade. We didn't even get into the baseball yet. We'll have some thoughts on that coming back a little bit later on as the Yankee bats were dry. Maybe they weren't awake yet. It's kind of an early start, unconventional start for a Monday, start of a series, little matinee out there. And Aaron Boone had plenty of time to get a nap in because Hunter Wendelstedt just absolutely, you're talking about rabbit ears? What a clown show. What a clown show with these umpires. 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. Hey, Isles Nation, listen up. ESPN New York has your chance to score tickets to the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs. Be there to see your New York Islanders take on the Carolina Hurricanes in games 3 and 4 at UBS Arena. Enter to win at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app. Just scroll down to contest and submit your entry. It's brought to you by the New York Islanders. Be a part of the electric atmosphere at UBS Arena. Get your tickets at NewYorkIslanders.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hard to. I really didn't even go after Hunter. You know, I was more upset that, you know, on the appeal. And I said, Hunter, you can call it too. And he came back at me pretty hard, to which I didn't respond. I just said, okay, went down. And it's embarrassing. It really is a bad, it's embarrassing.
That's Aaron Boone after today's loss to the Oakland Athletics 2-0. But the story wasn't the first thing in the game. Aaron Boone gets the heave-ho from Hunter Wendelstedt for something he didn't even say. And if you're just turning on your radio now and you have no idea what we're talking about, it turns out that Hunter Wendelstedt went to gesture to Aaron Boone in the Yankee dugout to pipe down after they were complaining about a ball and strike call. And then moments later, Boone didn't even say anything. You know, you have television evidence that shows he wasn't even talking. Instead, it was a guy who was sitting right behind the dugout who chirped something at the home plate ump. And then Hunter turns around and gives Boone the heave-ho. And Boone was as shocked as anybody. He comes out and he goes, he's like, I didn't say anything. And then you have Hunter Wendelstedt after the game talking to a pool reporter and just makes absolutely no sense. Basically saying that since Aaron Boone is the manager of the Yankees, he's the one that should take the responsibility for it. Even if it came from the other end of the dugout. Let's say if it was somebody in the dugout, not even a fan. But then the Yes cameras, you know, in their detective work, they did yeoman's job identifying the guy and showing that it was indeed not the Yankee manager who was chirping at the home plate umpire. It's just these guys, it's unbelievable how sensitive they get and how crazy they get when it comes to the rabbit ears. Nobody comes to a game to watch an umpire. I mean, I know that's breaking news to some of these guys, but nobody pays their money to see that. Second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party is coming up on Thursday, May 2nd. Come out to see the live broadcast starting at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset, just steps away from Manhasset Station on the LIRR, where after the show, the crew's going to take the train to Citi Field for the matinee game against the Cubs. Pregame party with Rick and Dave on Thursday, May 2nd, brought to you by Montauk Brewing Company. Come as you are, and by Zing Zang, America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Now it's even easier to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy. Please Zing Zang responsibly. Taking it till the top of the hour tonight. Then we got Knicks pregame as the Knickerbockers see if they could take a 2-love lead on the Philadelphia 76ers. Let us go to the phones and let us say hi to our good buddy. He is Richard in Manhattan, starting us off here on 98.7. Hello, Rich.
Dan, ESPN has been running a promotion today asking Brunson, what did Philadelphia do? Did they do something special? I've never heard an athlete answer how humble this guy is. He says, yeah, no, they were guarding me tight. They made it difficult for me to get my shots off. I wasn't getting good looks. Credit their defense. They played me really tough. I'm going to have to make adjustments. Dan, I've never heard an athlete give credit like that to the other team. Usually they say, no, I was getting my shots, just missing. Something was off on my shot.
Right.
No, they weren't playing me any different than they usually do. Man, this guy is so humble and such a great guy. He's beyond anything I've ever seen. He's that good a person. Now my second point. Embiid, I mean, he may play with a big heart. And as you know in life, it's not just the size of your heart. You got to use your brain. Would Willis Reed in Game 7 start throwing the ball against the backboard and trying to dunk on Wilt Chamberlain? No. You're injured, my friend. Stand under the basket. Be a force like that. Tap in rebounds. Just do the little things. Don't do anything athletic. That's why you're going to hurt yourself. You can't do what you can do when you're fully healthy. Somebody in the training staff should have told him, or his coach should have told him, that play where he bangs the ball off the backboard to try and then dunks over Robinson, that was not smart. My last point. Dan, I'll leave you with this. Do the Knicks look like to you, or neither? Do they look like the Iverson-led 2001 Philadelphia 76ers that went to the finals and lost, of course, to the Lakers? Or do they look like the 2002-2003 Nets, Jason Kidd-led Nets, that lost to San Antonio and the Lakers? Do either of those two teams look like the Knicks look like this year, or could the Knicks evolve into those two teams that went to the championship game? I'll leave it at that. Always a pleasure, Dan. Thank you.
Richard, appreciate the phone call. Here was the difference, though, with those two teams, like Philadelphia and Jersey. And people used to take shots at them and kind of throw cold water on Lee's what the Nets did in going back to back-to-back, or excuse me, in going to back-to-back finals. is that the Eastern Conference was a little inferior at that time. Remember, you had Shaq and Kobe together out in Los Angeles over on the Western Conference side. You had San Antonio with Duncan and his buddies. They were a championship caliber team. You had a Dirk Nowitzki, Steve Nash tandem with the Dallas Mavericks, who up until then kind of underachieved in the postseason during those years. So a little bit different circumstances. Remember, those Nets teams, yeah, Kidd would play like the Brunson role, if you will. But then they had guys like Kenyon Martin and Richard Jefferson. You know, those were really, really good players, you know, borderline all-star caliber players. I'm referring to this current version without Julius Randle with the Knicks, because we know that Randle is an all-NBA all-star performer. As of now, I'd probably say it's closer to the Philadelphia one. You know, that team that went into the finals against Los Angeles 2001. And they took that first game, as a matter of fact, out at the Staples Center, and then got humbled the rest of the way when Shaq and Kobe got their bearings together and it was too steep of a mountain to climb for them. You know, the thing about Embiid, though, is interesting that Richard brought up. It's tough for us to sit here and say what a guy should or shouldn't do. You know, this is a world-class athlete. You know, this is a guy that when he's healthy. And unfortunately, that's going to be like the yeah, but I think when we talk about Joel Embiid's career like 15, 20 years from now and look back, is that, you know, he's never going to be healthy enough to, I think, fulfill all the promise and potential that everybody saw in him, because these knees, I think it's just always going to be something now that plagues him for the rest of his career. Remember, he's 30 already. He missed a lot of games already in his NBA career. And if you're that big, you know, and that powerful, it's, your knees aren't going to get better as you get older. It gets worse. My knees are getting worse as I get older, and I'm not 7 feet, 270 pounds, or whatever Embiid is. Right? I mean, that's just a fact of aging. But, I mean, this guy, you know, to say that he shouldn't have done what he did, I mean, shoot, you're out there. It's the NBA playoffs. You got the adrenaline pumping. You think you're Superman. And this is a guy, when he's healthy, he might be the most dominant scorer in the NBA. I mean, he was well on his way to winning another scoring title before he got hurt. The guy was averaging 34 points a game. He's that good. 800-919-3776, that's the telephone number. Let me circle back to the Zach Wilson trade for a second, because we are just a few days away from the first round of the NFL draft. And, you know, you've heard all the rumors and all the smoke and everything about the quarterbacks. And how we might have the first three come off the board consecutively. And, you know, somebody might trade up to get a J.J. McCarthy. And, you know, there might be four of the first five quarterbacks that are taken in this draft. Buyer beware. You know, use caution. Everybody that's bending over backwards to make sure that you get that quarterback just because they play that all-important position, it doesn't mean it's going to work out. Like, look at that 2021 quarterback class right now. You had five guys who were taken in the first round. Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, and Trevor Lawrence. Four of those guys are already on their second teams. And we're talking 3 years into the career, not like seven or eight. 3 years in, four of the five first rounders are on other teams. But they're quarterbacks. Everybody's got to have one. And you think there's this great promise, this great potential. And you have them on a friendly rookie contract as well. But keep that little thought stored in the back of your mind as we get ready for Thursday night, and Giant fans in particular, because the Giants might be one of those teams that make a move to get themselves a quarterback in the first round of this draft. We shall see. Let me remind you also, the most anticipated sporting event of the year, Pickleball Showdown between Team DiPietro and Rothenberg and Team Anita Marks and Imani Toomer. Sunday, May 5th at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. Pre-game coverage kicks off on ESPN New York at 9 a.m. with a live broadcast hosted by Anita Marks as she sets the stage. Shortly after the show, the paddles come out for the Pickleball Showdown for the Ages. Be there on May 5th to witness the showcase event at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. That is it for us. Thanks to Joe and to Julian. I'll be back with you in about 4 minutes. How about a little Knicks pregame? Big one tonight at the Garden. If you're going to the game, be loud.